is this is really a common sense kind of bill. I think that came out through the process because much of the world, certainly the developed world, has these kinds of laws. So Australia, most of Europe, much of South America have blood alcohol content levels at 0.05 or below already. And there's no evidence that people don't go visit, say, France or Australia because they're worried about being pulled over. And in fact, kind of what the research has found, because there's a lot of evidence behind the bill, it says that people don't end up having problems with law enforcement. They simply change their behavior to have a designated driver or to find a way to get around if they're going to be drinking. And really, that's what the impact this bill is going to be, or this law is going to be, is people will think differently about how they go and drink and then choose to drive, or hopefully don't choose to drive, and that'll just make the road safer. And I know one of the issues you were discussing was the American Beverage Institute's concerns about, you know, high BAC levels being the cause of all or most fatalities.
Yeah.
And that's true, but the thing is that they haven't really acknowledged is that, for instance, when we lowered blood alcohol levels from 0.1 to 0.08 in the United States, the number of fatalities from people drinking at 0.15 or above went down. And that's because of this reality that I'm talking about, that people, when they see this, recognize, oh, I'm impaired earlier than I thought I was when it was, say, at 0.1 or, in this case, 0.08. And so they drink more responsibly. And that happens across the spectrum of drinkers. And frankly, it even protects drinkers who oftentimes get in fatal crashes, whether they're driving or not driving, due to drunk driving.
So what do you say then to people who will make the argument, and this is going to come up? By the way, Derek Monson is joining us from the Sutherland Institute. They had something to do with this bill that's going to the desk now of the governor, talking about lowering the blood alcohol level to 0.05. What are you going to say to people that are going to make the argument that, well, when we talk about blood alcohol level, now you have to look at somebody who's 110 pounds. You have a woman, 110 pounds, who will have a half a drink, and their blood alcohol level is going to be at a different place than somebody else who's at a different BMI. What do you say to those people that will make the argument that you can't paint this brush when you talk about lower alcohol levels and people and individuals and how they'll be able to consume the beverage?
Yeah, it's a valid concern, but I think when you learn more about how our highway patrol actually goes about discovering impaired drivers, it resolves a lot of the concerns. So first thing is, you're not simply just going to be arrested from having a 0.05 blood alcohol level, because what the highway patrol does, for instance, when they're patrolling, they see an impaired driving pattern, somebody swerving, driving really slow on the freeway, whatever it is, and that's when they pull you over. And then if they, as they kind of ask you questions, find out, you know, what was going on with your driving pattern, say they smell alcohol or something like that from coming from the car, well, then they'll get you out and do kind of the field sobriety test, walk in the line, spinning, those kinds of things. And after you fail those tests, that is when you get a blood alcohol level test. So the point is, if a woman drinks half a drink and then is driving impaired, then I guess that woman has a problem. But I think... she should have a problem if she's driving impaired.
I guess for a lot of people, Derek, the point is going to be, as we talk about this lowering the blood alcohol level to 0.05, that there are people that are going to say this is feel-good legislation the same way that texting and driving legislation is, that it's really going to be hard to narrow this down. And really what this amounts to in your eyes is just to give people pause to take a minute to think about what they're doing when they go out and drink before they get behind the wheel. This is just an example of something that the government can do right now to give people pause. That's what this is going to be.
Yeah, and I would say that is not feel-good legislation for that very reason. So, for example, when our current commercial truck drivers in the United States already across the country have a blood alcohol level that's below 0.05. It's actually 0.04.
Yeah.
So this, again, really isn't anything new in that sense. However, what they found is when they lowered that BAC level, the amount of fatalities the commercial truck drivers were getting into dropped by double-digit percentages. And so again, it's not feel-good. It means things for people.
Yeah.
And particularly in a state like Utah, where we want to be a zero-fatality state, this is one of the things you can do that immediately and quickly will address an issue of alcohol-related fatalities And it's one that actually makes sense for the government to do because, you know, we actually think as a society that we ought to be driving safe. If you're going to take the responsibility to get on the road, you ought to do so responsibly. And this is just a reflection of that.
And quickly, Dave Cawley wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, Derek, just a thought. I mean, for a lot of Utahns who either don't drink or drink infrequently, or even those who might drink a lot, the question becomes, what does 0.08 versus 0.05 really equate to when we're talking about having a drink with dinner or, you know, going out for drinks with friends? Can you provide some context around, you know, that's kind of an abstract number for a lot of people. What does this mean in terms of difference of drinks?
Yeah, so, it kind of depends on a lot of factors, like how much you weigh, how much food you have in your system, if you're eating while you're drinking, or if you're just drinking. But, so it's kind of hard to ask, and I'm not the scientific expert there, and I wish I had those numbers right in front of me, but I'm actually on the side of the road, so I apologize.
No, you're great. But, it's one of those things where I think a lot of people, because, you know, you get behind the wheel and you think, am I impaired or not, right? Somebody who's in that situation, and I guess ultimately the point I would think of this legislation is, if you have that question in your mind, it's probably a sign that you ought not be behind the wheel at all.
Right, whether it's 0.08 or 0.05, because if we're making the case that it is police officers that typically will find out that somebody is impaired when they're swerving or something like that, that difference, will that make that difference between somebody who will swerve or won't swerve, so to speak? Because officers don't know without seeing it physically on the roadway.
Yeah, but here's what I can say to that question is that there's been a lot of national surveys done by alcohol policy researchers who, a lot of them are drinkers. They don't have an ideological dog in this fight. And they've asked people doing the science of, you know, how many drinks does it take an average male or female. And those surveys have shown that when people find out how many drinks it actually takes to get to 0.05, they kind of respond with, oh, well, yeah, clearly you shouldn't be driving if you've had that much. So, I can get you more details, more kind of specific data, but there is some good evidence to say that when you realize how much it takes to get to 0.05, it's really a reasonable standard to have.
Sounds good. Derek Monson joining us from the Sutherland Institute, Director of Public Policy. And Sutherland did play a part in this legislation that is now going to the governor's desk about lowering the blood alcohol content from 0.08 to 0.05 here in the state of Utah. Derek, we'll talk again soon because I'm sure people have a lot of questions about this. And maybe we can do this again tomorrow, okay?
Oh, that'd be great, Drew.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.